You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Welcome to the world of the orphans. I know you've all been freshly awakened, but I have my own things to deal with, as we are about to have a lovely landing.
The Orphans, an original audio drama experience. Episode 1, available May 23rd, exclusively at oneofus.net.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Tattoo Shop. I am your host, JC DeLeon. With me, as always, is my good friend Michael Williams, a.k.a. Bearded Gentleman on Instagram.
How's it going?
And we've got a special guest with us, a friend of Michael's, a fellow tattoo artist.
How's it going, guys? I'm JD.
JD. Where are you from?
I'm from Orange County, California.
Cool. And you just moved out here in January.
Yes.
Cool. What do you think of Austin so far?
I love it, man. The food is awesome. That alone, I feel, is worth living here.
Yeah.
So much good food.
What was it that kind of made you come out here?
I got engaged, and my fiance and I were just ready to leave California. And I got contacted by a shop out here for a job, and we just decided we'd see if we could make things work out here.
Nice. Which shop do you work out of?
I work at A Million Tattoo in North Austin.
Cool. That's where Michael used to work.
Yeah, that's where I was at before Triple Crown Tattoo.
Yeah. So I think I did the Spade and the Lion there at A Million. That's a cool spot. It's one of the... When I first moved here to Austin, I've always lived in that area. And my first job working here was working at a Best Buy. And I would always hop on 183 and see, like, that sign. And that's, like, one of the only tattoo places I became familiar with. But I never knew anybody who worked there. And it was, like, almost 9 years before I met you, and it's just like, oh, you work at that shop. I used to pass by all the time when I first moved here.
Yeah, it's been around for, like 14 or 15 years?
Yeah.
And I want to say Scott took it over, like, 4 or 5 years ago. But yeah, they have a really big sign. Very tall.
Yeah.
Easy to see up on that 183.
Yeah. So, how did you kind of get into this, or how long have you been a tattoo artist?
I've been tattooing professionally since 2009. I dabbled a little bit beforehand, and luckily didn't do too much damage on anyone.
But, do you guys find that a lot of people sort of have similar starts in that, like, people kind of doing it on the down low, or just sort of like a friend semi-taught them, or...
I think it's common just because there's not a lot, at least for me, there wasn't a lot of information out there available. So, you know, I went into shops looking for an apprenticeship and kept getting turned down. And my reaction was kind of to just figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
And then I realized I couldn't do that and had to seek an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Definitely helps out.
Yeah.
So what was that process like? Like, how did you eventually find...
I was living in San Francisco at the time, and a friend of mine in Orange County, where I grew up, said that his shop was looking for an apprentice, and he was kind of on his way out of his apprenticeship and into just tattooing. So I kind of just took his spot over as the apprentice and got to work in there.
Actually, what's that process like? Like, the process of coming out, like, does somebody just sort of after a while say, hey kid, you ready? Or, like...
I think it all depends on the person who's teaching you.
Yeah.
Some people I've heard have taken over a year, you know, 2 years even, to be allowed to tattoo somebody, and I've heard of other people taking, you know, 6 months. So
yeah.
It's kind of...
Because I'd imagine really the only obstacle to legit professionalism is, like, the certifications and everything, right? So it's really upon...
Well, that and, like, how hard are you working?
Right.
You know, do you want to learn? Are you on your iPhone the whole time at work and
right.
not paying attention to what's being taught to you.
So, so there's not like a set number of hours you have to like apprentice for.
It's not like a hair like where you have to go to, you know, cosmetology school and
right.
1,200 hours or whatever.
Say in Oklahoma it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma, okay. they have like, you have to create a whole curriculum for the person that you're going to attend to,
okay.
like, apprentice to tattoo. But yeah, I mean, I think most of it, like you said, it just kind of depends on, you know, what kind of, you know, talents you're coming in with, like how hard working you are, how eager you are to learn, and how like respectful, because I'm sure in a situation, if you're like dicking around, not taking it serious, they're probably going to spend more time kind of hazing you and giving you a hard time and like trying to like earn that seriousness, that like respect out of you. So they're probably going to mess around with you a little bit, try to get you on board with that. But, you know, if you're hitting the ground running, I'm sure there's no reason why it should take too long.
Yeah. And I'd imagine you guys see, you know, people try it out and it just is not for them. Like, is that, what kind of percentage would you attribute to, like, some people just, like, don't like it or don't want to do the work?
That's hard for me to say because the shop I started in was, like, a pretty rough group of guys. So I would say, like, not a lot of people made it through that, you know? But, I mean, I don't know if you have something to add to that.
No, I mean, I've definitely worked at a shop with a guy who was the apprentice. He did it for a while, and I don't know if it was just, like, all the extra work he was doing, or once he kind of realized, like, how much more there was to it than just, like, making tattoos. Like, you know, he's in there, like, scrubbing tubes, like, stressing out because it's, like, hot and sweaty and dirty, and it's like, man, you're going to have to eventually get past all that, you know? Yeah, you're in there scrubbing dirty tubes with people's blood on it, and you gotta, like, learn how to do that and do it well.
Yeah.
You know, you can't sit there and just stress out about it the whole time. And I don't know if it was that, or if maybe he just thought, like, it wasn't gonna work out, or he was just ready to, like, I feel like a lot of it is just, like, trying to get to the end before you're there. You know, trying to be, like, done and, like, out tattooing. Like, nobody wants to do the part in between A and B. They just want to get from A to B as quick as possible.
Right.
So he definitely, like, gave up on it. Seems to be doing well doing other stuff now, so.
Also, I think the scheduling, I mean, like, our schedules as tattooers are kind of crazy compared to other jobs. So I've seen a lot of people have, like, relationship issues and stuff that have conflicted with them finishing an apprenticeship just because they couldn't have, like, a social life or get school work done or,
yeah,
you know, etc.
I was actually kind of surprised at Triple Crown seeing their hours end at, like, 6, because a lot of other shops I've seen go till, like, midnight.
Man, we have the best hours. Like, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. is really nice. I mean, most of the time I do end up kind of sticking around, like, a little bit later. But, you know, you go back to, like, you know, 2004, when I started tattooing, the shop I worked at was, I think we were 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
You know, during the week, like, Sunday through Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday, we were, like, 11 a.m. until midnight, and then that was us there, like, all day. Like, whoever was working, there'd usually be at least, like, two or three of us. On the weekend, there'd be three or four of us, and, like, we'd show up that early in the morning and stay till, like, that late at night, and nobody left until we were done. So we all showed up, cleaned the shop, worked all day, and then when the last tattoo was finished, closed up the shop and, like, left. So you'd go out, have a beer, go home, pass out, wake up, come back to work.
The other people not tattooing would wait until the last one was done and you'd all live together?
Man, it was like a real team effort. That's so cool. You know, everybody was part of the team there.
And so I asked this of Michael, like, when he first started, so did you always have sort of a natural talent for, like, being able to draw, or was it just kind of...
Yeah, it's definitely something that I always enjoyed. I was, like, a big fan of Marvel stuff when I was a kid, so I always got those, like, how to draw Spider-Man books or whatever, you know, and I would just trace stuff out of them and then color it, and, I feel like it kind of came naturally. I was getting tattooed a lot and had a lot of friends that were, you know, working in shops and stuff. But
which, do you still have your first tattoo? Like,
yeah, it's a Misfits tattoo on my wrist. I was 15. Yes. And I used my friend's brother's ID. So we looked a lot alike.
Nice.
You're like, hi, I'm 18.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this tattoo.
Did you guys encounter that a lot? People trying to,
Yeah, I had a guy recently come into the shop with his mom. And he didn't have any paper, any ID, anything. And I told him, you know, I can't tattoo you without that. We're going to have to reschedule. And his mom came in. She was waiting in the car. And she starts yelling at me, well, he's 18, you know. And it's like, well, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, can't really do anything unless I have an ID, so.
Well, even in that case with his mom there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the state of Texas, you have to be 18. There's no parental consent.
Okay. California is the same way, so.
This actually reminded me of something I saw on Facebook the other day. I'm looking up right now.
Is there any place that allows under 18 tattooing, like legally?
Not that I've worked.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say that I know from experience, but.
When I worked in Florida for a short amount of time, I don't believe that there was any kind of like restriction on age as long as there was parental consent. So for the most part, like at the shop that I worked at, I don't think anybody who was under 16 got tattooed. I did tattoo somebody that was 17 one time and it felt really weird. Like I just felt like I was doing something that I shouldn't be doing. Like I was, you know, aiding this person and making like a bad decision, even though I got my first tattoo like before I was 18.
Yeah.
But you know, it just more so like the weight of the responsibility was on me. Like I felt like, oh man, this person regrets it, or you know, decides that they don't want to have that anymore. They're always going to remember me having done that. So needless to say, I can't find this article I saw. Basically, it was like a shared page of this guy who had tattooed a kid that was 15. And it had been shared like 1,600 times, and there was like well over 1,000 comments on it. And basically, I mean, he had another tattoo on his back from what I could tell. And all these people were just like leaving such terrible comments, like how this person was like a child abuser or a child molester or like all kinds of like horrible things. But it's like, I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, yeah, should that guy think about it? Sure. But I mean, in that state, like, that's the law, and I don't know, man, people, like, pierce babies' ears, so it's, like, a really, like, thin, weird gray line to, like, walk on. I mean, yeah. I can't say, like, what's right or wrong. I mean, you know, maybe some 15-year-old comes in, he sounds like he knows, like, what he wants and seems, like, mature, and maybe some 15-year-old comes in and seems like he's a 10-year-old, I don't know. But I am, like, glad that in Texas it's 18, so I don't even have to, like, fathom the thought of that.
Yeah,
you know, I don't even have to, like, take into consideration even making that kind of decision.
I would say, though, that, I mean, if it is the law in the state that you're working in to tattoo a minor with the parent's consent, like, at least you're doing a good job, hopefully. We had a girl come into our shop recently because we offer laser removal, and she had purchased a tattoo at home stick and poke kit from Urban Outfitters. And tattooed her own face with it.
That's right, Urban Outfitters, it's your fault.
Yeah, so, I don't know, it's crazy. I mean, at least if they're coming to a shop and their parents are consenting, hopefully they're getting a tattoo that, even if they regret later, is done well.
Yeah,
they're not going to get a disease. They're not
going to be clean.
Yeah.
What did she tattoo on her face that she was having removed? She'd, like, give herself, like, a little teardrop or something?
Yeah, the Mi Vida Loca dots under her eye.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. Yeah. And her mom was furious, and she looked at me and was all upset. And I said, well, at least she did a good job.
Get her hopes up.
And her mom didn't like that at all. So I let her deal with the laser people at that point.
Yeah. See, look at that. Tattoos are not even permanent anymore. Just get them lasered off.
Yeah.
Good to go.
Yeah, I should have said that. I did come across an article that this kid basically invented like a cream that eliminates tattoos a lot cheaper. It's something like, I think, $5 for would basically eliminate, I think, like a 3-inch square sort of thing. Made it insanely cheap, and they're like testing it right now on like pigs and mice and stuff like that.
There was a few years back, there was something called Wrecking Bomb.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, what do you feel safe putting on your skin that's going to erase a tattoo. That's, I mean, yeah. like, a laser scares me.
Yeah.
But that seems, like, slightly more scientific than, like, some weird cream that's going to make a tattoo, like, come out. But even years before, there was, like, this other stuff that was, like, a pigment that had clay in it. It had, like a pumice, basically, and you would tattoo it into the person's skin. And that pumice would stay in there and irritate the skin so much, it would basically cause it to reject that.
Yeah.
And it would pull out the color with it. So basically, you were just, like, causing somebody to have, like, a terrible healing tattoo that scarred up even more, but
yeah.
it took the color out.
Yeah, the idea of the cream made was weird to me, because it makes me think of this joke from a comedian who passed away a few years ago named Robert Schimmel. He told this joke about this cream that, like, makes your dick bigger. And he's like, wouldn't you know who's using this? Because wouldn't your hands get bigger, too? Like, just people would be putting this stuff on their skin, eliminating tattoos. Like, what else is it eliminating, or what else is it doing?
That's maybe it's scientifically...
I mean, I'm not a dermatologist or a, you know, a scientist by any means, and I feel that way about a lot of things. I mean, we get requests for black light tattoos and things that are... You know, I just look at it like, I don't know whether it's safe or not, but I'm not gonna be the one that's like, yeah, I'll do that on you and recommend this cream for you. And
yeah,
that.
Have you ever had anybody say, hey, I'm not really sure what kind of inks you use, but I'm very, like, comfortable with these. Can I bring in my own inks?
I've never had that. No.
Dude, I have had at least two or three people who are just like, I know for a fact that I don't have allergic reactions to this, but I want to bring in that ink. And I just had to be like, well, so that's a question. Where do you get it? How do you get it? Because yeah, you're not a tattooer. How are you ordering this professional tattoo equipment? Second thing I have to ask is, I don't know how you've handled the ink. If you've gotten tattooed by other people, if they were, like, clean and aseptic and, like, sterile about the way they were tattooed, where I know that this ink hasn't been contaminated, you know, and then I have to, like, take into risk, like, doing that tattoo with your ink, and then you have a reaction, and then how is that, like, my fault or the ink's fault?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a lot like people who come in for piercings and say, hey, can you pierce me with my jewelry that I bought? And they're like, yeah. I don't know where that jewelry's from or what it's made of. Why would I do a piercing with my equipment?
I hear that all the time.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there's another picture I saw on Instagram this week of a... It's like a side-by-side picture, and on the left is, like, this shittily drawn tiger tattoo with a thing that says $60 above it. And another really awesome one that says $600, and he's like, the difference is, like, quality. Like, it's worth paying that much money. And yeah, I'd imagine walking into a tattoo shop, it's, you're paying the extra money for, like, the trust, and that equipment is safe, the ink is safe. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a far leap to make to compare it to, like, a doctor's appointment, but it's like, hey, I bought this medicine in Mexico, it's a lot cheaper, and you just, like, inject that into me.
Yeah, I know you gotta put this new hip in, but I ordered one online. I think it'll work just fine. Do you mind?
Yeah. So kind of back to you. So what would you say your kind of, like, specialty is, or, like, style, or just kind of?
I mostly do American traditional work.
Yeah.
Just tattoos with an outline and, you know, some black to them. I feel like in my, you know, short career so far, the trial and error is that, you know, tattoos without black outlines don't look as good after a while.
Yeah.
So I try and do stuff that's going to hold up for the client and, you know, something that's going to look good and stand the test of time.
Does anybody ever, and this could be to both of you, because I saw this list of, like, things that you do and don't do to, like, your tattoo artist, and, like, don't walk up to one saying, like, this artist he found on Instagram that does a completely different style than what you're used to, and it's like, hey, I really like this. Can you just, like, do this style? How do you approach that? Or
That's, like, every day.
Yeah. It is every day. Luckily, like, the shop I started in was primarily, like, black and gray shop. So I wouldn't say I'm great at that stuff, but I can definitely handle a lot of it.
Yeah.
Which is fortunate because, you know, not everyone wants some traditional tattoo. So that helps.
How do you guys feel about, like, portraits?
It depends what it is, man.
Yeah.
I'm iffy about people's relatives. I don't specialize in portraits. I've done a few. But I feel like a lot of times people won't bring in a clear enough reference photo, which is the biggest problem I've seen.
Yeah.
You know, they want you to tattoo off their grandpa's yearbook picture from 1968, and it's a photocopy.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't blow this up and get all the detail I need in there. So I generally turn portraits down.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's like Frankenstein or like something where if you make it like a little different, it's not going to show. That's better in my opinion than, you know, grandma who's got that look to her, and if you change her eyes a little bit, she doesn't look right, you know?
It's definitely hard to, like you said, transition somebody's picture of somebody that they knew. They've spent so much time, like, knowing that face, and you've, like, just had, like, a few hours to, like, get to know it. And, you know, one, like, little exaggeration of a line or one line that you forget, like, a crease in a face or, you know, a certain, you know, I don't know, like a
twinkle in their
freckle
eye.
Or yeah, anything. It's like totally just not them. It's just somebody else who kind of looks like them. Like all of a sudden they have their doppelganger on them instead. But, I mean, I agree with what you say about the tattoos, not to jump back to that, but, you know, doing a traditional tattoo is just a fundamental way of doing tattoos. You have like nice clean line work, good shading. So, I mean, all that transitions into a lot of what you do with the black and gray, because I've seen a lot of your black and gray stuff, and, you know, whether it's like a big, bold line or a skinny line, it's still like a nice, crisp, solid line. And I think, you know, as long as you have like nice line work and good, solid shading, whether it's choppy or smooth, as long as it's in there and heals up well, I mean, I think those fundamentally make great tattoos, so...
Yeah.
You know, you can really do a lot of different stuff as long as you just kind of stick to certain rules and then just kind of play within those rules.
Yeah. Do you ever, I guess if somebody, like, how bummed out do you get if somebody just has, like, a really terrible idea and it's just like...
I've in the past that used to make me really, like frantic. Someone would come in my first few years especially, and they'd want something, you know, outside of my comfort level or outside of what I'm used to doing every single day. Like, to me, that was like really difficult to overcome. But lately I've been just trying to kind of take a step back and be more patient with people. Understand that, like, who gives a fuck if I think it's cool? Like, it's their idea and it's their body, and they're paying me to make the best tattoo I can make for them. So I think, as long as it's not outside of my comfort level as far as, you know, subject matter, if I'm going to feel bad for putting a swastika on somebody or something inappropriate on somebody, I generally try and take it if I think I can make a good tattoo for them. And then just kind of be a little more patient with drawing it or setting up and really try and make their idea as cool as I can.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to think about it.
And that's my job.
I don't mean to, like, knock tattooers that aren't into that kind of stuff, but, you know, I mean, that's the way I try to approach everything. If somebody comes in, I don't know, man, there is definitely some terrible ideas. But, you know, a lot of times people come in, they, like, tell me their idea, and, yeah, it's something that maybe I don't think is cool. It's maybe not my style, but it's, like, it's just like going to a museum of art. You walk around, and there is stuff that just stands out to you as, like, I like that. And there's stuff that stands out as, I hate that. But there's going to be so many people that like the stuff you hate. So many people who love the stuff that you like, you know? So it's just, it's not my body. I don't have to wear it. If I think it can be a cool tattoo and I can do it really well, I think that's the best way to handle it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you have to take every job, but if you think you can do it really well, do it really well.
I mean, by all means, if it's outside of your skill level, you know, I would definitely just turn them on to somebody I think could do a good job for them.
That's the other thing too, man. Just passing it on to somebody who you think could do a good job.
I have no problem doing that. I've done it plenty of times before, but I think if it can be done well and it's just you don't want to do it or you're too cool for that, like, that's where it's kind of like, dude, this is a job.
Right.
And it's as much as, you know, you'd like to post something cool for your Instagram followers today, like, if you could do a good job on this, that's in the end of the day, that's your job. So
Michael, I think you and I talked about this when we were trying to come up with a name for the podcast. I can't remember if we did it in the first episode or not, but how do you approach the, like, someone getting a tattoo on their butt or like on their cleavage or something like that? Like,
I mean, obviously sanitation comes into play. If you got, like, poopy butt, then, you know, I'll probably ask you to take a shower and come back when you're not poopy butt. But if you just want a tattoo on your ass, like, I mean, I get paid to tattoo people, and I don't care if you're a girl or a guy.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, don't get weird with me.
Right. But
like,
I was going to say, man, I've tattooed a lot of dudes' butts.
Yeah.
And it's always totally fine until they make it weird.
Yeah.
As long as they don't make it weird, it's cool, man.
I mean,
it's
just a tattoo. I feel like that could happen, you know, you could be walking in the bar and bump somebody's butt with your hand on accident and they could make it weird.
Right.
So it's like, yeah. Really, like, it's all about, like, how you approach it. If you're professional and the client isn't making it weird, I don't think it's really that big
of a issue. Yeah, because I used to walk around, or I've only been to, like, two tattoo conventions, but I think the one in January, I walked around and I saw a dude getting his ass tattooed, and I just kind of thought to myself, like, that can't be comfortable for either of them. Like, but, I mean, I guess, yeah, I guess if you don't make it weird.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we all have butts.
Yeah.
Well, most people, I guess.
Yeah. So recently we had a Friday the 13th come up, and I didn't know, I mean, because I didn't know until after I had tattoos for a while, but about the whole Friday the 13th thing. Do you guys, how long has that sort of been around, or do you guys like working those days? Do you find the money is pretty good since you do a bunch in one day, or?
Oh, man. A lot of answers to that question.
Yeah. You want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. Friday the 13th. I couldn't tell you exactly when it started, and I couldn't say 100%, but I believe that Oliver Peck of Elm Street Tattoo is the one who started the original $13 with $7 tip tattoo. They do like a party for 24 hours, and they just knock out these $20 tattoos that are, you know, they're small. They're like, you know, nickel to quarter size.
Yeah.
And really, it's just supposed to be for fun. You know, you come in, you get a meaningless, dumb, fun tattoo, and you have a good time. It's like about the experience and the story. It's not about like what the designs are and, you know, how cool they are and like where you get them and stuff. But, you know, we go into these days, we want to have a good time. You know, I've done a lot of different ways. I've had like small tattoos that were like the $13 tattoos, and I've done all the way up to like, you know, the last Friday 13th, me and my coworker Mark, we made a bunch of tattoos that were designed anywhere from $60 to $150, and basically they were like a regular tattoo with a slight theme of Friday the 13th
that
was a little bit of a discounted price from like what the original would be, and we had a good time doing it. Getting lost here in my thoughts. So I was going to say, you know, every day can be like a little bit different. You know, it seems like this year it was like a bunch of people calling and they wanted just like the $20 tattoos and we weren't doing those, so they were bummed out. Or they wanted to know like what the designs were. It's like, who cares what the designs are?
Yeah,
like,
we
you
got
know?
That a lot too. It's like, can we see the sheet ahead of time?
Like, yeah, no. it's like people were calling all day. I'm answering the phone and they're like trying to like ask me like 20 questions. I'm like, hey, you know, look, I'm at work right now. I'm answering the phone. I'm trying to set up to do a tattoo. I've got a room full of people I'm trying to talk to. Just come down, check it out. Like, why are you trying to find like the best design that you can like over the phone? Like, put in some like legwork. Come and check it out. You know.
Yeah.
And like I said, there was like I'll do a Friday 13th and do $20 tattoos. I don't care. It can be fun. It can be a good time as long as people aren't like trying to like make you change the designs or like do fancy colors in them or, you know, getting like 20 of them put on their arms at the same time. But this Friday 13th was really fun. You know, I did 6 solid tattoos. Met some cool people. Everybody tipped really well. They all had a good time. I had a great time. I would say that it's the first time in a while that I've tattooed that felt like when I first started tattooing, where there was just a line of people picking out a pre-designed, you know, piece of flash work off the wall that was a cool badass tattoo, and then telling me where to put it, and I put it there.
Right.
Like, not a lot of thought going into it.
Yeah, when I talked to you that day, you seemed like you were in a pretty good mood, and even the day before, you seemed pretty excited about it. So it's kind of, it led me to believe that you, in general, kind of like doing it every year. But
this year was my first one. The shops I'd worked at in the past were primarily appointment only, so we didn't really get a whole slew of walk-ins. I have mixed feelings. I think there's good and bad side to literally everything.
What did a million do? Did they do a flash sheet?
We did multiple sheets. Okay. I did my own sheet. They were $60.
Okay.
They were small. They didn't have 13s in them.
Yeah.
They were just things I want to tattoo, basically. I think that it's great in the sense that, one, it gets people in the door. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you give them a business card, you give them a nice tattoo. Potentially, you're building clientele that way.
Yeah.
I think that it's good for, you know, PR, I guess. The only thing I could see where it could go wrong is, you know, if you get fancy on those flash sheets and you start giving deals out, what happens to the guy that spent $300 on something similar? And, you know, you just tattooed him 6 months ago.
Yeah.
He follows you on Instagram. You did a badass rose on his arm. Charged him $300. Then he sees a similar rose, maybe a little smaller, for $60 on Friday the 13th or 20 even. You know, I feel like there can be a negative side where someone's like, well, you know, that's kind of screwed up. Like, I paid more. Maybe I'll just wait for Friday the 13th from now on. And then you got...
Never thought about that.
You got the other negative side where you've got these guys that only come and get tattooed on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I had one client this year that is literally doing an armband around his arm of all of his Friday the 13th tattoos. And it's like... I don't think it's meant to take advantage. And like Mike was saying, when people call ahead of time or want to change the design or see the designs up front, I think it's kind of like you're giving an inch and they're taking a mile.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, every year I look at different sheets and like all the tattoos I've had, I've always like kind of put thought into and like trying to find what I like. And I'll still look at the sheets to be like, in case, like on the rare occasion, like maybe there's something I really like, but for the most part, it's kind of stuff I'm not super into, but it's like, I like the idea of putting thought and like working, you know, working with Michael and like what I'm in doing what I'm getting tattooed on me.
That's why I didn't put like 13s in my designs this year. I felt like maybe that would, I don't know.
It's also kind of the other thing. I find too many
look under the 13. I don't know.
I used to think that was the rule, and it's like...
If it's a $13 tattoo, it should have a 13.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's why I charged 60 for mine, and that wasn't far off from what our minimum is, and they weren't very big, so it's kind of...
Did that turn out to be a pretty busy day for you?
Yeah, I let the other guys in the shop do stuff off my sheet, and everyone seemed to... have positive things to say about how they were doing. So we did like over 30 tattoos each. There was four of us working, so
nice.
It was a busy day for sure. Yeah. But it was lucrative. I mean, I probably could have made the same amount doing, you know, four regular tattoos as opposed to 30 Friday the 13th tattoos. But
yeah.
Who knows? I might get clients out of that, and you know, that generated people that may have not been tattooed at a million to now they know about it and they can come back. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not.
I'll say it definitely.
I'm not going to say it's a bad thing.
Yes. Yeah.
If you go into it and you have some designs that you want to do and you have like a good mindset to have like a good day doing it and you don't feel like it's like a chore and your clients make it a good day, you know, like you don't get those people who come in that are just being picky about it or asking you to change this and that. It's like, man, if you want a tattoo like that, if you want to like ask me questions and change stuff and like add stuff to it, make an appointment. Come in like a different day. If you want to pick something off the wall and get it as is, come in that day. Have fun. You know, I mean, it's just about the experience.
Yeah. How often do you find that's the way people are getting their first tattoo?
What's that? Come in and pick something out off the wall or Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th.
Oh, man. I've definitely done some people's first tattoos for Friday the 13th.
I did four on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my old shop, we used to have a bell hanging in the shop, and when you got your first tattoo, you'd ring it. And I think I told like three of them, all right, go ring the bell. And they're like, what?
What bell?
I'm like, all right, never mind.
It's always fun making them one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love doing first tattoo.
I love how nervous people are.
Oh, man.
And then they're like, oh, that's it.
You know, it's funny. I find some people who it's like their second or third tattoo are way more nervous than a person with their first tattoo.
Well, I've told you.
Because they know what they're about to get into. Like, there's no, like, guessing about it. They're like, this is going to suck.
I hate getting tattooed.
It's the worst, man.
This is the conversation I always have with my parents, because they're like, doesn't it hurt? I'm like, well, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, definitely
doesn't
feel good.
But man. I do it. And I always tell you, like, I'm always, like, nervous right up until the moment that you start, because then it's like, when, the second you start, it's like, all right, I'm in this now. And it's like, yeah.
Does it ever weird you out when somebody's like, oh, I like the way it feels?
Yeah.
You're like, what is wrong with you?
I think that's bullshit.
Man, I don't know, man. Maybe they just get their wires crossed.
I had a girl, like, 2 years ago, and I was doing a big, like, paragraph of script on her ribs, and she swore that it tickled and proceeded to laugh and shake the entire time, which made my job a lot worse. But I just couldn't imagine laughing at and getting my ribs tattooed.
Yeah. Where have you found... Because you've got a ton of tattoos. Where have you found is like one of the more painful spots? Or
my sternum was really bad for me.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, it was quick, but it was rough. My knee was really bad. Anything on the legs and torso, I feel like isn't pleasant. I mean, my neck wasn't bad. My throat wasn't bad. But
see, and that always surprised me. People say the neck. Like, the side of the neck isn't as bad as you'd think, and, like, I have one on the back of my calf, and I couldn't believe how painful that was.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the back of the calf is tender.
Yeah.
The back of the calf is bad.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought the back of the calf wouldn't be that bad, and it's literally one of the only times where, as soon as the guy started, I was like, hey, hang on, stop, and he goes, really? I'm like, yeah, just give me a minute. I wasn't expecting it to be that painful, and yeah, I don't know.
The most heavily tattooed people I know have all told me that right under your butt cheeks, on the back of your thighs, is the worst pain in the world.
I hear the under butt is tender.
Yeah, I don't have the end of butt.
Yeah, that makes sense. What have been some of the more interesting pieces you've worked on?
Do you have any current projects that you're working on that you're excited about? Anything big?
I got a Jesus that I'm doing on Friday on a girl that's, like, actually Catholic. But the picture she showed me is, like, this really evil Jesus. So it's been fun, like, trying to design it where it looks like a metal, like, dark, like, basically like the Passion of Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
Without making it, like, blasphemous or, like, I don't know, anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It can always be a challenge sometimes to meet somebody's needs and, like, wants in a tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. I've learned to, like, really, like we were saying earlier, just take a step back and, like, appreciate my job. And when someone brings an idea to me, just do everything in my power to do my best at making, like, a good tattoo for them. Even if it's something that, you know, I wouldn't tattoo on myself or necessarily jump to if I had a choice.
Yeah. Would have been some of you. Do you have any kind of stories that jump to mind that, like, either funny or just kind of
I mean, I started traveling like a couple years ago, and I worked out in a shop in Maryland with a guy named Antonio Roque, and watching him take walk-ins when he had, like, a random, you know, reschedule or something, and watching him take somebody's idea and sit down for, you know, an hour and a half and draw something, or half an hour and draw something, but, like, really spend his time to make a good tattoo, I think was the first time that I'd seen somebody of that caliber not shrug it off or tell the person no or price them out the door or, you know, just give them whatever they brought in on a piece of paper from Pinterest. And
yeah, that is kind of one of the things that bums me out.
Inspiring to me. Like, I saw that and was like, I could do that. Like,
yeah.
I could watch somebody come in for a walk-in with some idea that might be ridiculous and then actually give a shit.
Yeah.
And do my job, you know?
Yeah. That is kind of one of the things that bums me out about the one on the back of my calf, because it was my second tattoo ever. And at the time, I worked at an Apple store, and I met the guy because he came in and bought a computer, and I saw that he was a tattoo artist. So I just sort of asked him about it, and I had had this idea, like, the picture on my phone for, like, years, and I would always show it to different artists, and they would always, like, say it was way too expensive for me to afford it. And he was the first one where it's like, yeah, I could do that for, like, $200. And So I didn't know enough about the process, and I walked in the shop, showed him a picture, and like, that's exactly what he did. And I mean, it was, I mean, it's not a bad tattoo, but it, as I learned more about the way artists work with their clients, and it's like, to create something like really special, it's just like, the tattoo kind of sucks now.
Well, and it's hard to do sometimes with walk-ins.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have somebody that comes in and leaves a deposit and says they want, you know, this half sleeve and they want this in there with their kids' birth dates and, you know, they give you a list of all the stuff, like, you got time to sit down and come up with something.
And that's, yeah, that's the thing that's getting really
good. When you take walk-ins, it's kind of like, okay, like, I have a you know, a certain amount of time I need to get this drawn up in before they just decide to leave or, you know, not get tattooed. So I think being able to sit down and really, like, try is important.
Yeah.
You know?
See, tattooing has definitely changed a lot with, like, the growth of the internet and, like, the accessibility to, like, images online. Because, like I said, when I first started tattooing, you'd work at a shop, and the whole job of the shop is to have flash. Like, you want to buy or paint and design sellable tattoos, so you want to have something that, like, appeases everybody. So they'd come in and flip through, and you got tribal armbands, tribal designs, Celtic knots, you know, Japanese kanji symbols, and then you'd have, like, weird, like, Southern Confederate, like, rednecky NASCAR-looking stuff. You'd have evil black and gray skull, demon, dragon stuff. You'd have Native American designs. You'd have, military, you know, good military, traditional designs. Like, all kinds of stuff. Fantasy stuff, like, you know, fairies, tons of fairies. And basically, you would have this whole plethora of like, every kind of, like, design. And people would come in, and they'd find the design that, like, spoke to them. Like, oh, that one is exactly what I want. And now, like, you know, with the internet getting better and with, like, all these, like, reality TV shows, it's really turned into this whole, like, trying to make this, like, amazing, like, tattoo for people. And that's cool. That can be, like, super fun. But it used to be that people just, like, went in and found that amazing tattoo that spoke to them. And, you know, that's the difference, is, like, you used to be able to walk into a shop, find something on a wall, pick it out. You know, we weren't having to, like, do research and sketch and draw and, like, work all this time, like, designing your tattoo. And then you would get the tattoo right then. And now people, like, want to come in and, you know, have you, like, design up something and want it, like, right away. So I appreciate people who come in, put down a deposit, let me marinate on the idea a little bit and think about how we're going to do it. Because I hear this all the time where people are like, well, I don't want flash off the wall because everybody has it, but I saw this on Pinterest. It's like, man, yeah, you and everybody else who has Pinterest. I mean, basically, you're just looking at a different, like, broader selection of, like, flash. But the thing is a lot of that is, like, not well-designed to be tattoos, you know? I don't know how many people... You ever have people come in, they're like, what about this? And I'm like, well, that's a Photoshopped fake tattoo on somebody's arm. And they're like, really? Well, what about this one? I'm like, fake tattoo. What about this one? Fake tattoo. And they're like, what about this one? Real tattoo, just not done well.
Yeah.
and it's like, I kind of miss those days. That's what was so cool about Friday the 13th. No thought. People came in, they picked the tattoo that, like, spoke to them, or they looked at it and they didn't like any of them and they left. You know, went on to, like, the next shop to see if something spoke out. But I do miss those days. I would really like to try to get back into, you know, maybe starting, like, once a month, and if that works out really well, maybe a day a week where I just do just flash and walk-ins only, first come, first serve, because I miss that thrill of, like, that shop I worked at, like, showing up on, like, a Saturday and there being, like, a line of people. Like, that's intimidating. You show up to work and there's, like, already, like, 20 people, like, sitting outside waiting to, like, get tattooed. Yeah. They come in and just, like, line up and pick out what they want and just waiting for you. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and transition to the sort of last portion of it where, you know, I kind of want to make it feel like we're in a tattoo shop, and as you're tattooing somebody, sort of just talk about whatever is on your mind. And so you mentioned earlier that you brought up the new Doom video game. Have you bought it or played it?
Yeah, I bought it yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to play it a whole lot yet, not as much as I'd like to.
I didn't even really know there was one coming out.
An hour into the campaign right now.
So. Okay, so is it like a first-person shooter?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of like the original game, but just, like, done much better, obviously, because it's 2016. Yeah, I didn't even know a new Doom was coming out, but because the only video game I play every year is I buy the new Call of Duty, and that's like all I play. But yeah, so it's
so far it's phenomenal. I feel like it was probably one of the most anticipated games, just because of like I feel like Doom was like almost everyone's first PC game.
Yeah. Or like Goldmer PC.
Unless you're like much older, I feel like Doom was like the first.
Let's say it was all about Wolfenstein 3D, and then it was all about Doom.
And I think even with like first person shooters, I think like just, those two, and then like GoldenEye.
There's like, there's Duke
GoldenEye. GoldenEye was years later. That was, yeah. Because I mean, God, what was I? I was like 13, and Wolfenstein was out, and then by the time I was like 14 or 15, I was playing Doom, and I was, you know, connecting with somebody playing co-op or deathmatch one-on-one, like over a modem.
Yeah, you know? I remember my dad's, like, he worked in this office and they had a computer guy and he set all the, it was the ID games.
Yeah.
And he set, like, that folder onto all the computers in my dad's office. So when I was a kid and had to wait for my dad to get off work, I would just play Doom or Duke Nukem or... It was like Descent and Heretic and a bunch of other.
Say, of the id games, the ID games, there was Wolfenstein, Doom, Doom 2, Hexen, Heretic, which were the sequel and prequel, and then there was Quake,
yeah.
Quake 2, Quake 3 Arena.
And that turned into like the Half-Life series, right? Or
Half-Life is a different company. I'm trying to think. That's Valve.
Yeah, that's right.
Did Half-Life, Half-Life 2.
I remember those. And those all spawned into, after that.
Yeah, those all spawned into like Portal and Team Fortress. And then you had Apogee, and Apogee made Duke Nukem, and I believe that they made Rise of the Triad, which was a really fun one. Man, I played so many like first-person shooters on the PC.
But Doom was my first.
Yeah,
I think my first. Like, real video game. I mean, I had, like, Mario Kart and shit growing up, but...
The game scared the shit out of me.
there's so many things. Like, when I was a kid, I wish my parents weren't as so... Like, thinking video games are kind of destroying my brain the way they were, because I could... Because they even tell me now, they're like, if we did... Because I was, like, super into video games when I was a kid, and then at one point I just kind of stopped, because, like, I felt like my parents had discouraged me from playing it. And then a few years ago, they were like, yeah, you were really into it. If we'd have known, you could have, like, made a career out of it or something. We would have, like, let you keep playing. And it's...
That's the weird thing now, though, is there's, like, esports and, like, you know, tournament games. And a friend of mine just moved to Japan and was telling me that in Korea, like, StarCraft is, like, a sport.
Yeah.
They straight up, you turn on ESPN and you're watching a bunch of kids play StarCraft.
Yeah, it's something like, it's something recently that's been going on, and like, there's like leagues now or like different teams, and it's like, yeah, it's crazy. Esports, but it's, you know, it's cool. But, I don't know, yeah, it is one of those things that makes me wish I'd like stuck with it when I was a kid. There's so many things, like and I didn't realize as a kid, like, I'm super into movies, and I didn't realize that could have been a thing I didn't. Instead of my parents, I lived in Texas my whole life, and so when I was a big guy, my parents were like, no, you're gonna play football. I'm like, okay. And I like football, but I played football because I was good at it, and I wish I'd sort of stuck with some of that other stuff.
That's life, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you learn those things as you live on.
I definitely feel like we were from a generation of, hey, you need to graduate high school, you need to go to college, you need to get a degree, get a real job. And I feel like more and more, like, you know, there's a lot of parents now who are like, oh, you can do anything you want. And like, I hear all the time, like, clients are like, yeah, my son's really good at drawing. You think he should be a tattooer? I'm like, no. No, not at all.
No. Save him.
Yeah. He should go to college and get a degree.
That's actually an interesting question. What would you guys be doing if you weren't tattoo artists?
I'd be a chef, 100%. Yeah, I love to cook.
I was going to school for automotive service, so I would definitely probably be somewhere working on cars.
Yeah.
And I enjoy both. I mean, I think the same thing, like, being a chef, it's like, same job, different day, you know? It's like, yeah, I might be working on cars, you might be cooking food, but you're always going to be cooking different food for different people, and they'll be working on different cars for different people. Same thing with, like, tattooing. Like,
yeah.
I like that sense of accomplishment at the end of the day. Like, no matter what, like, go into a day... And I know that I have something, and it's a challenge, or I know that I don't have something, and the challenge is to find something, and then get it done. And then at the end of the day, it feels good to know that, hey, got that shit done.
Right. Yeah, but chefs, I've always found it interesting, and maybe you've done tattoos on a few chefs in your career. What's the idea with them having, like, being really expressive with tattoos? Is it just, like, being creative?
They can get away with it, I think.
Yeah.
Honestly. I mean, let's be honest, you know. You get, like, a barber or a chef or, you know, someone whose job doesn't necessarily, like, shun them for having a sleeve or a neck tattoo.
Yeah.
They're probably going to jump on it. I know a lot of people that would probably be heavily tattooed if it wasn't for the fact that they do, like, real estate for a living, or they're in law school, or,
yeah,
you know, they're trying to break through some career that's maybe a little bit more old-fashioned with stuff like that.
It is kind of one of the things, like, if my friends and I ever managed to, like, my friends went to film school, and one of my best friends is a director-writer, and he sort of assembled, like, this team. Like, he went to school with his editor, and, like, one of his best friends is his writing partner. And I sort of, like, come into the fold. I was like, because they're not as good with dealing with people, so they're like, you could be a producer. You could kind of come on and help with this. And so I've always said, if that ever takes off, like, yeah, I would probably just have tattoos all over the place.
Yeah.
And, like, not.
Why not?
Yeah.
YOLO.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's sort of the thing I'm trying to convince, like, parents. My dad finally has come to the point where he's like, yeah, I agree with your mom. You shouldn't get any more tattoos.
You're perfect the way you were.
Yeah, because my dad used to just be like, let him do whatever he wants, but now he's, it's probably because of her pressure, but now he's just like, yeah, I agree with your mom, don't get any more, to which I'm still going to get more, but I don't quite yet know where it's going to end for me, but...
They'll never stop saying that.
Yeah. That's the thing, actually, in my day job, I work with a woman who is, she's 50, and she just started getting tattoos, and like her first one was like a tattoo behind her ear, and she was telling me how her kids were like... You're 50. Why are you getting tattoos now? She's like, why not?
Yeah. I tattooed a World War II vet like 3 years ago, years ago. He was in his 90s. He was like 92.
Yeah.
And he had like two tattoos that had just been freshly done, probably like 6 months, maybe 3 months before I tattooed him. He was just going for it. I guess, yeah, he figured, you know, he had a little red Mustang convertible, and he was just going out with a bang.
Yeah, one of my favorite pictures that I've seen is like the whole idea, like, what are you going to do when you're older? Like, what are they going to look like? Or what are you going to look like when you're older with all these tattoos? And there's a picture of these old guys that fully tattooed, and they're like, I'm going to look fucking awesome.
I've always heard the difference between people with tattoos and people without tattoos is the people who have tattoos don't care that you don't have any.
Yeah.
Don't give a shit.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that is a good note to end on for this episode of The Tattoo Shop. So, JD, where can people find you on Instagram?
Just JD Tattoo.
Really? Well, nice.
Really easy. My name and then my job.
Were you amazed when you found out that wasn't taken?
It was like right when Instagram started. Oh, okay. I guess I jumped on the Instagram train right on time.
Yeah.
I've actually had three people email me to buy my Instagram handle from me.
Really?
Yeah, I told them nope.
I'm hoping I can do that with my basketball podcast, because the Twitter handle that I only started a few months ago, so Twitter's been around for almost 10 years at this point. And I was just randomly, I was like, at B-Ball Podcast, totally available. Woo. I was like, holy shit. And so, yeah, I'm kind of waiting for that for somebody to be like, for like a legit huge basketball podcast.
You never know, man. The NBA might hit you up and cut you a nice check or something.
Yeah. And Michael, they can find you at Bearded Gentleman.
Bearded Gentleman.
Yeah. Be sure not to do Bearded Gentleman, because.
Yeah. Please don't send me any selfies of bearded faces.
And so. Like we said earlier, you in Austin, Texas, work at Triple Crown Tattoo.
Triple Crown Tattoo.
On Chacon, was it Avenue? Street?
It's 1157 Chacon Street.
Yeah. And JD, you are at A Million Tattoo.
Yes, I'm at A Million Tattoo, and thank you for having me here today.
Yeah, no problem. So yeah, until next week, that is this episode of The Tattoo Shop, and until next time, we'll have some more amazing guests for you. If you guys have any tattoos or anything like that you want to show us on Instagram, what you've got, let us know on... Actually, I have a Twitter handle that I made. This is bad podcasting, but it is Tattoo Shop Pod, which I was amazed that it wasn't, it's not super creative, but that was available, and so that was cool. But yeah, until next time, we will see you guys later. Thanks for listening.